Good to have rain, right? Right? It's good to have rain. Hey, there was a man and his friends that won Super Bowl tickets. Okay, there's a man that anybody got to watch the Super Bowl? Right? We got a few weeks. Go Chiefs, right? No? Okay, I don't know. All right. So this guy wins tickets to the Super Bowl, and when he arrives at his seat, when he and his friends arrive at the seat, the seats just fill up around him, and the crowd's going nuts, all except one seat. There's one right next to him that's open. And he looks at this woman that's sitting just on the other side, and he says, "Man, I'm really surprised to see an empty seat at the Super Bowl." And the lady replied, she said, "Yeah," she goes, "I know it was my husband's, and he died." And the man, feeling sad for this guy, he said, "Man, I'm really, really sorry about that." And as the time went on, the game went on, a little while later, he makes a statement. He says, "I'm really shocked that another relative or friend didn't just jump at the chance to take the seat reserved for him." And she said, "You know, I am too. But they all insisted on going to his funeral." So, come on, guys, that's funny. All right. Sometimes, church, we lose focus, don't we? Steve, that was good. Amen, brother? All right. Sometimes we lose focus. Sometimes we misprioritize things. Last week we grabbed hold of our desire as a church to focus on our growth, growing together. When we look at the mission of the church, we don't have to look any farther than the Great Commission that Jesus laid out for us in Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus, the one who is in charge of the church, amen, the Lord of our lives, and has the authority, he says, "Go therefore and make what, church? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And then he says what, church? What do we do to them? "Teach them all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." When we look at our vision statement for our church, we have a focus: connecting people to Jesus, growing together, and living authentically for Him. Connecting people to Jesus is being out in the community. It's serving the community, sharing the gospel with those that are around us, sharing the truth of God's Word, and introducing them to the Savior of the world. And that's still a very much of a priority for us as a church. Growing together, as we looked at last week, we are called to grow, to be more like Christ. To grow, we looked at three different things. First was having a proper evaluation of where we are in our life. Know where we're at. Where do we need to go? So have that proper evaluation. Second was to keep the past in its proper place. Right? As we grow and we live for Christ, sometimes we can get content in what we've done. Right, we can celebrate what we've done and we lose focus of what lies ahead. And we can stop mid-race. And third, we focus on pursuing Christ with eagerness and passion. With everything we have going on in life, we can forget to pursue Jesus. Amen? We do. We forget to pursue Jesus sometimes. So as individuals and as a church family, we prayed last week and we talked to God, "Help us pursue you and your life with passion." Jesus makes it clear that growing, the process of sanctification, right? The growing is a priority. We want to lead people to Christ and see Christ save them. But Jesus doesn't stop by just saying, "Hey, tell people about Jesus." He says, "Make disciples," right? Teach them. So as a church family, as we continue to pursue sharing the gospel with the world around us, man, we're going to be committed to growing together, making disciples and teaching them. But we can't forget what else is necessary. What else is a priority for us as individuals and as a church family? In our text this morning, we see Jesus give us a great example that we can't miss. So don't check out of me. Just be with me today. We can't miss this in our lives. We can't miss it in our churches. So if you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Mark, second book of the New Testament, Matthew and Mark. If you need a Bible, there's some at the end of your rows. If you need, or you can slip your hand up and you can keep it as our gift to you. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 35. If you guys would stand as we read God's Word together. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. "In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Simon," which we know is Peter, "Simon and his companions searched for him." They searched for Jesus. "They found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' He said to them, "Let us go elsewhere to the towns nearby, so that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out demons. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you that we can open up the word of God and hear from you. So God, I pray, Lord, that this morning that we would hear from you, that we would stay tuned in, that we would just follow what you're teaching this morning, God. Help us as we open up God's word and as we hear from you this morning, God, help us leave changed. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Many times we see things in our lives that we want to do or even need to do in our lives or even in the church. And we create ways for those things to happen. In our church, the dirty word of programs, right? We got all these programs. We got ministries, or we got things in our lives that fill up our schedules. And we create ways for these things to happen. We spend at church, we spend a lot of time preparing for Sunday morning, right? Our time of worship and hearing and preaching God's word, and for our life groups and kids' life and student ministries. And we should, right? We should prepare and aim to serve God and His church with excellence, right? We're agreeing on that one, right? I or whoever is preaching should prepare and study to present God's word in a way that brings honor to Him, in a way that helps our church grow and hear from Him and apply God's word to our life. Our worship team, they don't just jump up here on Sunday morning, right at 10:30. They prepare, they practice, they plan so that our time of worship through music is honoring to God. And we can go on of how much time and planning and energy is put into making sure that our kiddos and kids' life are learning about Jesus and in the appropriate age and learning of the Bible. And then Jay with our student ministry. These are all good things, and we need to do these things. These are all good and needed things. We should pursue serving the Lord and His church with excellence. In our daily lives as individuals, we have many things that need to be done. Right, you look at your schedule and you're like, man, I don't know how I'm going to get done this week. Right, I need 30 hours in a day. Jessica and I, as we were driving to Kansas City, 20 hours in the car. Woo, that was fun, right? And as you're driving, you have time to talk. And so she and I were talking about our schedules. And we're talking about where we are putting our focus, because there are a lot of things that are pulling at us, a lot of things for us to do, a lot of good things for us to do. So it led us to talk about priorities. Tom Landry, anybody familiar with a man named Tom Landry? Okay, Tom Landry is a former coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and he was quoted as saying this. He said, "I think God has put me in a very special place as a coach, right? And He expects me to use this job to His glory in everything that I do. Whether coaching football or talking to the press," he says, "I'm always a Christian." And then he says this, "Christ is first, family second, and football is third." Your owners don't like hearing that, do they? Like the football owner, they don't like hearing that. But for him, he had a priority chart, right? I mean, he knew what came first. Following Christ was first and foremost, because that would lead him and prepare him for everything else that God placed in his life, including his family and football. And Jessica and I, and just as we are busy, right? We're all busy. We can look at our schedules and say, man, we're busy. We've talked about that before. The common answer is no longer, "How are you doing today?" It's no longer good. It's, "I'm busy." That was the big answer of the last 2 years, is it's no longer "I'm good" or "I'm okay." It's, "I'm busy." Lots of things pulling at us. Lots of good things pulling at us. Now, we're not talking about bad things. We're talking about good things that are pulling at us. The question this morning is this. As we look at life and we look at our faith family, our church family here, are we focusing and making time for the things that are not just good, but necessary? Here's the question. Is the necessary a priority? In our text, Jesus has two things that are necessary for Him. He has lots of good things, and we're going to look at those. Lots of good things, but He has two things that are necessary for Him. Many good things, many very good things, but just two things that He prioritized ultimately as necessary. We're going to walk through some of these verses together. Look with me at verse 35. It says this, "Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, He left the house and went away to a secluded place and was praying there." So when we think about our individual life and when we think about our life as a church and doing things as a church, as a church family, What we can learn from Jesus' example here is this. On the back of your bulletin, there's a place to write down notes. So they're not pre-printed, but they're going to be up on the screen. So we're halfway there, okay? So just if you need to write down notes, do that. But the example that we can learn from is this. A sacrificial prayer is necessary. Sacrificial prayer is necessary. Now, we learn in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says that we are to pray without what, church? Pray without ceasing, meaning constant communication with prayer. The first time as a young Christian when I read that, I'm like, are you kidding me? I need to be on my knees with my hands folded and my eyes closed all the time, right? I mean, that would be awesome if we could do that, but that's not necessarily what he's asking us to do. It's constant communication with God, taking everything to God in prayer. And while we're driving and working and while we're hanging out with our kids and while we're playing sports or learning in school, constant communication with God. We want to be in that constant communication with God. So what is sacrificial prayer? Right? Because when I think sacrificial prayer, and I'm sure that you guys are going to say, when I hear sacrificial anything, Pastor Jeff, you're about to ask me to give up something. You're right. Right? So we're going to do that. Not necessarily me, but we're going to look at what Jesus' example here is asking us to give up. And we don't, because we're going to think, man, I don't have the time, I don't have resources, I don't have the ability to give up anything else. Right? I'm packed. But Jesus teaches us something, and this is what is great about Jesus, because while he is fully God, he is still fully what, church? He's still fully man. He understands life. He understands humanity. He understands our schedules and the stresses of people and things pulling at him. The pull on him to do many good things. We're not just talking about bad things. We're not talking about Jesus sitting down playing Xbox or anything like that. We're talking about a lot of good things. So he gets that. He might have played Xbox. Yeah. Okay, all right. When we think about Jesus' schedule, sometimes we forget that he might not, or that he does understand. And if you don't believe me, I want to walk you through Jesus' prior day. Because in verse 35, it says this, early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up. So I want to walk you through a little bit of Jesus' day and see why we look at this and we say, man, his time of prayer was sacrificial. Beginning in verse 16, won't read these next few verses, but we see Jesus calling his disciples. Right? He says, come and follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Right? Jesus, come and follow me. He's gaining some disciples there. Then in verse 21, we read about Jesus. This is a schedule. Just check this out. They went into Capernaum, and immediately, you're going to hear that word a lot. Mark uses that word a lot, immediately or urgently, something like that. And immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach. And they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out saying, what business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. Throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. Verse 27, they were all amazed, so that they were debated amongst themselves, saying, what is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. Immediately the news about him spread everywhere into the surrounding district of Galilee. He calls his disciples to follow him, right? He's kind of doing some of that training and leadership development stuff to do ministry with him. And then they head to Capernaum, and immediately Jesus begins to preach. And it says that he does so with authority. If the Bible says something, there's a reason it's there. He does it with authority, as only Jesus can. Amen? Right? And I can tell you this. I can run, I can work out, I can do things around the house that is busy work that would make us tired. But there is not much in this world that makes me more tired than what I'm doing right now. When I'm done preaching, I'm ready to go home, grab a bite to eat, and go to sleep. I don't get it, I don't know why, but that's just the way it is. So Jesus, knowing that he is God, he's Jesus, and God in the flesh, he is preaching with authority. Probably a little bit worn out, probably thinking about some McDonald's, and he's going to go home and have some nap time, right? And then it says next that right away, it says just then, which translated means immediately, Jesus is confronted with an evil spirit. He cast the evil spirit out from that person. And then the Bible says immediately news spreads out about him. Verse 29, and immediately after they came out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever. And immediately they spoke to Jesus about her, and he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them. Jesus is done preaching and taking care of these nasty demons. Then right away he heads to do a house visit, right? And he heals this woman, and it's understood that when it says she waited on him, that there was that she was serving them and serving them. So she, more than likely they got to eat there. And at this point, man, we can get worn out just reading about, especially as a preacher. I'm sitting there getting just, it's like, man, when I'm done preaching, I'm ready to go home. And Jesus keeps going. But it continues in verse 32. When the evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. And the, what church? The whole city, not just part of them, the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. Man, we have times in our lives, seasons, where we are busier than others, right? I mean, just think about that. You're like, man, here's a busy time, here's a not so busy time. Here's a little bit of a downtime. We have seasons in our life where the Lord has our plates a little more full, right? He's called you to do something, and you're going to be busier during this time, during this season of your life. But for me, when I look at this and we look at Scripture and we look at Jesus' day, I would guess that this was somewhat of a typical day for Jesus. And all of that happened in one day. And this is Jesus' day that leads up to verse 35. Just think about the most stressful day you've had, and then think about verse 35. All good work, all work that honored God. All very good things, leading and preaching and casting out and healing. And just being with the people. Jesus deserves a good night's sleep. Amen, church? I mean, you think about that, it's like, okay, you deserve a good night's sleep, Mr. Jesus guy, right? I mean, this is, that's it. And so, but when we come to verse 35, the Bible tells us that early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a secluded place and was praying there. Now, when you study the language here and you understand what is happening early in the morning while it was still dark, it's understood that this time was, for us, would be between about 3 and 6 in the morning. And so really, whenever you really dive into this deeper, it's really understood that it's somewhere between 3 and 4 in the morning. Jesus is working his tail off all day long, doing great things for God. And then somewhere around 3 to 4 in the morning, Jesus gets up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Jesus was sacrificing. In this case, it happened to be sleep. He's sacrificing sleep. He was sacrificing so that he could have alone time with God the Father. And not just time. Don't check out of me. I need you guys to make sure we're getting this one. Not just time, but time that was unhurried. Time that was not rushed, not distracted. For us, in order to find some time that is unhurried, to have some time that is without distraction, we might have to give something up. As individuals, find a time when you can be with God that is not rushed, and a time that is without distractions. And I'm just like glancing and looking at moms, right? You're like, yeah, all right, dude. Yeah, you know, like, I don't know what in the world you're talking about. I'm thinking about my wife, you know, just talking about our schedules. But maybe it's TV time. Maybe it's Facebook time. Maybe it's book reading time. I'm not saying these things are bad things. I'm not talking about bad things. We know, let's boom, kick those out, right? But we're talking about good things. These not necessarily bad things, but to get away and have this time, this kind of time with God, something really has to be sacrificed. The challenge for us this morning is this, church, is to find an unhurried time. Find an unhurried time or an unrushed time or in your schedule, and then try, church, to pinpoint what you might have to sacrifice. For Jesus, he sacrificed, it was his time and his schedule to sleep. And then to be away from distractions, he went and found a place. It says a secluded place, right? A hidden away place. If you're like me, mainly because I have ADD, but we like to multitask a bit, right? We always like to multitask. And it seems like prayer is the thing that always gets stuck with multitasking. Right? I'm going to do the dishes. Time to pray. I'm going to take a shower. Time to pray. I'm going to drive. Time to pray. Not a bad thing. Do that. That's a good thing. But we want to... Anybody good at multitasking? No? Yeah. All right. All right. We got a couple men. Most women are like, yeah, I got this down. Don't ask my husband. All right. So, but some are better than others. Many like to spend time praying while they're driving. I'm for that. I think that's a good thing. But here's another good thing, right? It's a good time while we're driving to just focus on God, but please be multitasking and focus on the road as well. Because there are people in front of you and behind you and beside you that are hoping that you're not having your eyes closed, having a really in-depth prayer, right? I mean, so we want to multitask, so focus on the road on that one. But any time with God, church, is good. In fact, it's great. But when was the last time you had uninterrupted prayer with God? The second challenge is this. Find an undistracted place. Again, moms are like, yeah, right, dude, right? Find an undistracted place. I've found that Jessica and I, and I'm sure you guys are with me on this one as well, but when Jessica and I want to talk, it's good to have, for those married folks in here, the people have been married a little bit longer or just for a short time, communication's good, amen, right? I mean, you need to talk with your spouse. It's a good thing. So when we want to talk, much of it is done during multitasking. Right? Jessica is cooking in the living room and the boys are up doing what my boys do, okay, and tearing up my home. So I'm in there and we're trying to talk. She's in the kitchen, I'm in the living room, and we're just kind of trying to talk. Or maybe it's just TV time, right? I mean, we kind of schedule that in. We got to have a little bit of TV time, but then we try to have a conversation. Or maybe one of us is on our phones responding to a text or an email or a phone call or Facebook or whatever it may be. So we're multitasking, but our good, solid time of communication with one another is when we are in an undistracted and unhurried place. And many times we have to sacrifice something to make that happen. Jessica and I started to do where I would take a time off. I'd give up my lunchtime, and we would go and have a little coffee date out on the back porch and just go and talk. And I would mainly just listen to Jessica because she had a lot to say and I wasn't always able to hear from her, right? And in a good way, Lynn, like in a good way. That's Jessica's mom, okay? Yeah. Me and my wife both talk a lot, so I can't make fun of her. I do it too. Probably not as much, but no, I'm just kidding. Don't tell her, right? So with God, I'm digging deep. All right. So we have to sacrifice something to have that good communication. And with God, let's find an unhurried, undistracted time, pinpoint what needs to be sacrificed to make sure that we're having that time with Him, where we can hear from Him, and we can talk to Him, and we can learn from Him, and church, just to be with Him, right? Just to be with Him as a church. When was the last time that we as a church had uninterrupted and unrushed time of prayer? That's a great question. We're going to talk more about that later, but we as a church, we need to have dedicated time of prayer with God where there isn't a bunch of distractions, a time where we aren't rushed, a time where we make it a necessary priority to go to the Father in prayer. We talked a little bit about what they call the Prince of Preachers is Charles Spurgeon. Long gone, but just a great example to follow as a preacher, as a pastor. And Charles Spurgeon was well known in those days. And he had a lot of young pastors and churches that weren't doing so well. And they just said, Mr. Spurgeon, let's connect with you. Let's figure out what you're doing. Why are you so successful? Why is your church so successful? Why are you growing? Why are you reaching people for Christ like you are? And they're asking all these questions. And he invites them over, and it's documented that Charles Spurgeon, he brings them in, he welcomes them in, and he brings them into the church, and these people are expecting to go into his office to see where the magic happens, right? To the sermon prep desk. Right, and then that didn't happen. And then they're thinking, okay, he's going to take us to the sanctuary and just see how beautiful it is and why people just want to come because they're so attracted to this church. And they're just thinking about things the way that we think about them. And Charles Spurgeon didn't do that. He took them downstairs and he opened up a door where it was quiet. And then you open up the door and you just hear the whispers and the crying out of people praying. And he said, gentlemen, this is why we are where we are. because people have dedicated their time. People have sacrificed their time so they can come here and pray for God to do things with our church, for God to do things in our pastor's life, for God to do things in our music leader's life. And all these, and you get what I'm saying, right? God help us be that church where we can say we are dedicating time, we are sacrificing time so that we can cry out to God as a church body. I like what verse 36 says. We know that Jesus, He left His house and He went to find a secluded place to pray. But in verse 36 it says this, Simon, or Peter, and his companions, more than likely some of the disciples, searched for Him. I like that. Jesus went to a place where even His close companions had to search for Him. Right? Sometimes we would like that, right? Just to be able to go find a place where people had to search for us. Jesus knew He had to get to a secluded place because the world was not done pulling at Him. We read in verse 37, it says this, that they found Him and they said to Him, everyone is looking for you. I've heard that a million times, right? Have you guys heard that? Man, your kid needs you, your husband needs you, your wife needs you, this person needs you, this church member needs you. Somebody needs you, everyone. And we know from Jesus' story that the whole city was looking for Him. Because He was preaching and teaching and He was healing and casting demons out and being with the people. Even His disciples were searching for Him to pull Him back to it. We have that a lot in our daily lives. Just people and our jobs and our spouses, even sometimes ministries just pulling at us. And Jesus knew that for Him, hear me clearly, Jesus knew that for Him to complete the work that He was sent to do, Jesus didn't come to earth just to hang out and be the cool guy that could do miracles. He came for a purpose. And to complete that work, He needed to spend time with the Father in heaven. Jesus knew what His day-to-day tasks looked like. And for Him to be able, in His human form, to be able to physically and spiritually to be capable to do those things, He needed to have that time with the Father. And if Jesus needed that, we need that. Amen? Church, amen? All right. God wants that time with you. He wants to spend time with you, uninterrupted and undistracted time, so that we can lay our hearts out to Him, so that we can cry out to Him if we need to, so we can ask of Him. And He wants to use that time to be able to pour into you and talk to you so we can just hear Him clearly. And we must have that time. Jesus knew it was a necessity. And Jesus was constantly going away, right? He went away after serving to be replenished. Like after feeding the 5,000. And He went away before serving, or before He went and did what He had come to do. He spent time in prayer alone with the Father. We see this clearly from the beginning of His earthly ministry all the way to the end. Before Jesus called His disciples to follow Him, what did He do, church? He prayed. When we look at Jesus in the garden before He would be arrested and suffer like none other and be led away to be crucified for your sins and for my sins, He spent time with the Father in what, church? In prayer. Man, this is the example. When we want to, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ, right? We are called to follow Jesus. And we must spend time with Jesus as the head of the church and as the Lord of our lives. We must spend time with God to be able to complete what He has called us to do. Men, you want to be good husbands? You want to be good fathers? Spend time with Jesus. Amen? Women, you want to be good moms? You want to be good mothers? And I said that twice. You want to be good... What am I trying to say? You want to be good wives? You want to be good moms? You want to be good people, men and women? Spend time with Jesus. Young people. You want to be good students? You want to be good to your boyfriend or your girlfriend? No boyfriends. All right. It's not happening. No boy. They have cooties. All right. All right. We want to live the life that Christ has called us to live. We have to spend time with Him. Amen, church? Right, come on now. Let's just do this. Let's do this well. Amen means you're like with me. We're in one accord. We agree. Amen, church? Amen. All right. It's so important for us not to miss the promise that Jesus gives us before He leaves. He comes, we learn in the beginning of Matthew, to be Emmanuel, which is God with us. And then remember, Jesus, before He leaves, He closes out the chapter. Jesus says, go and make disciples. Go share the gospel of all nations, baptizing them, teach them. And what? I am with you always. Being with Him is what makes it possible for us to do what He has called us to do. You guys with me? And church, He has clearly called us to grow, to be like Christ, to live the life He saved us and called us to live. We've said this a million times and I'll keep saying it. If Jesus didn't want us to do these things, He would have saved us and took us home, right? But He has left us here to do a work. These include sharing the gospel and making disciples and to live the life that He has saved us and called us to live. Teaching and being good husbands and good dads and good employees and moms and wives and all those types of things. Good young people. And just like we talked about last week, we continue to press forward and go. Man, here's the thing, man. You got some churches that they focus on discipleship or they focus on evangelism. Here's the thing, church. Discipleship doesn't happen outside of evangelism, and evangelism doesn't happen outside of discipleship. They go hand in hand, and this is what we are called to do. Our focus on growing together is to grow into the likeness of Christ. And when we do that, we will make disciples and share the gospel and teach and be who God has called us to be. Man, there's so much things going on in our life. Marriage is tough. School is tough. Work is tough. And yet we go at it on our own. And Jesus is begging you and saying, I died so that you would spend time with me. Right? Are you guys with me? And we neglect that. It's like, okay, that's a really good thing, Jesus, but I got all these other things going on. And we neglect that. Jesus has two things that are necessary for Him. The first was sacrificial prayer, spending time with the Father, away, undistracted and unhurried. And the second ties directly in with that one. His second necessary priority was to complete what God the Father had sent Him to do. And for us, church, this. Pursuing what God saved us to do is necessary. Sacrificial prayer is necessary, and pursuing what God saved us to do is necessary. Jesus says this. He doesn't mince His words. He says, come and follow me. And if we look through what it means to follow Christ, we know that God doesn't mince His words. It's a tough deal. It's going to be a hard road. Why? Because it's a good thing. He says, be my witnesses, make disciples, baptize, teach all that I've commanded. Teach the word of God. He tells us in the two greatest commandments, to love the Lord your God with all of who you are, all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, even that neighbor, right? And then throughout His teaching, throughout all of God's word, He shows us and teaches us how. Excuse me. And then the things that keep popping up throughout all of His teaching and all of His exampling and all of Jesus' life and the people that follow Christ afterwards is this, the same thing that keeps popping up as they're growing to be who Christ calls them to be is time with Him. Right? It's time with Him. Apart from Him, the Bible says that we can do what, church? Nothing. Do we believe that? We don't live that way, do we? I believe it, but I don't live that way a lot of the times. John 15:5, Jesus says, God in the flesh says, I'm the vine and we are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Right? We will accomplish much for the sake of Christ if we remain in Him. But apart from me, apart from Jesus says, you can do nothing. I am a perfect example, and I would share my story with you any day of somebody trying to do too much on my own. It does not end up good. It does not end up good. My challenge here for us this morning is this. Church, choose the necessary over the urgent. Choose the necessary over the urgent. Everyone will always be looking for you. Everything will always be pulling at you. If we say, I'll spend that time with Jesus when I have time, it will never happen. Right? It will never happen. The necessary is pursuing what God has saved us to do, and the necessary is to have time alone with God. So church, when we plan our days, when we plan our weeks, we're going to have a lot of good things. I'm not even talking about bad, lazy time. I'm not talking about that. We could literally lay out a full day, right, and be doing good things. But Jesus says, Apart from me, you can do nothing. So we choose the necessary, which is spending time with Christ, over the urgent. When we look to our text, the disciple says, come on, Jesus. Everyone is looking for you. Let's go. Let's go back and do this thing. We got a good gig going on here. Right? You're doing a cool thing, right? They didn't do this, but I'm kind of thinking, man, we might start collecting on this thing, right? I mean, everybody, the whole city is coming. Everyone is looking for you, Jesus. Everyone needs you. We have lots of people that are ready to talk to you right now. But what did Jesus do? He did the necessary over the urgent. He swept away to be with the Father. And then we see this in verse 37. They found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. And his reply was this in verse 38. He said to them, let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also. Read the last part with me. Is it up there? We don't have that on there? It's not up there. All right. I'll just read it. So that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for. That is what I came for. What was Jesus preaching that was so much more necessary than kicking some demon butt, right? And healing people and teaching. What was so much more necessary than going and hanging out with these people? Let's look back at verse 14 real quick. It says this. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The good news. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. The promised Messiah is here. Salvation has come to save us from our sins. It is here. He is here. It's happening. The promised Messiah, the Savior of the world, is here, and He has a message. What is that message? That message is a really unpopular one for us today in America. Repent. Repent. What does repent mean? Well, it means we're doing something we shouldn't be doing, and we turn to something else. In this case, we turn from our sins, we turn from ourselves, we turn from our way of doing things, and we give our life to Jesus. Repent. And then believe. Believe that Jesus is who He says He is. Believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and that no one comes to the Father but by Him. Not one person has forgiveness outside of Jesus. Not one person has the love of God outside of Jesus. Not one person has freedom from their sins outside of Jesus. Not one person has eternal life apart from Jesus. Everybody will spend eternity in hell if they don't have Jesus. Are you with me? This is the urgency. This is the necessary. So turn from your sins and yourself. This is the message. Maybe it's for us today. Maybe we need to hear this. Maybe there's somebody in here that needs to hear this. Turn from your sins and from yourself and trust Jesus, because Jesus needs to be Lord and Savior in your life. This is what was necessary. This is the message. This is why He needed to go, because He had already preached and done things in this community, and now He was going to go do it in the next community. This is what was so necessary. This is what took priority. This is why Jesus had to make sacrifices to go and pray, so that He would be good to go, so that He would be prepared, so that He would be equipped and ready to go and be commissioned out by the Father to do what He came to do. Church, if we want to be who God has called us to be, as a husband, as a minister, as a wife, as a child, as a student, as an employee, as a person, we must pursue Jesus Christ. We must pursue growing to be like Him. Actually, first, we must give our life to Christ and be saved. We can't skip that step. Right? We give, we repent, and we believe. We become saved. We give our life to Jesus Christ. If there's somebody here today, that's for you. Right? That message is for you. Give your life to Jesus Christ and be saved. But then we grow. We learn to imitate Christ. We pursue others around us that are destined to a place, a real place called hell, and we share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. Like Jesus started, right? And we make disciples. We don't just say, hey man, you're saved. Let's just sit your butt in the seat now. No, we're gonna teach them how to follow Christ. Amen, church? We're gonna teach them how to follow Christ. Amen, church? All right, and we teach others how to follow Jesus and what it means to be a Christian. And how do we do these things? How are we capable of being who Christ has called us to be? How are we capable of growing? We pursue time with Him. Don't neglect that, men in your families, ladies, young people. Don't neglect time with Jesus. Alone and uninterrupted time. Church, Here's this time. I'm going to ask some things of you this morning. First is this. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, take care of that today. Man, Satan's pulling at you. The world's pulling at you. Knock that junk off, right? Just say, Jesus, I'm here. I don't know what you have for me. I don't know a lot of things about you in the Bible, but I know that I need you. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, we take care of that today. Right? We don't delay on that. Don't wait until you have things in order. It's not going to happen. Don't wait until you're clean, right? You couldn't take a long enough shower to get clean enough for Jesus. I'm just saying, right? Amen? You guys with me? Right now, where you are, or right after the service, we're going to give you some time in a little bit. You can give your life to Christ. Second, we absolutely need growth, to grow and pursue who Christ has called us and saved us to be. So ask God, like we did last week, help me, give me the eagerness to pursue you, Jesus. Next is this, in your personal life, in your home, ask God to help you find a time where you can give to Him and only Him. Guess what? You're going to have to sacrifice something. And that's why you ask Him, what do I need to sacrifice? God, what do I need to give up? Is it TV time? Is it Facebook time? Is it reading time? Is it internet time? Is it sports time? Whatever it may be, what do I need to give up so that I can spend uninterrupted and unrushed time with you? For Jesus, He exampled it in sleep. Who wants to give up sleep? Probably nobody that's breathing. Yeah, Dan, you give up sleep all the time, brother. Actually, I was thinking about you when I wrote down that question, actually. Brother, Dan gets up at like, he goes to bed at like 3, and then he's here at like too soon. I mean, the dude's faithful, man. So thank you, Dan. But that's it. What, for him, it was sleep. How do we find that time? Lord, lead me to know what I need to sacrifice so that I can be who You've called me to be. And for me to be who You called me to be, I need time with You. And then finally, this is for our church. If you're a guest, I'm glad you're here. But this is for our church. I'm going to ask you something right now. To pray and ask God to lead you or guide you or give you clarity in one particular area here at Authentic Life, and it's this. God, are You leading me, are You needing me to sacrifice a little bit of time on Sunday morning to come and pray for Authentic Life Church? We've neglected that. We have our time where we get together, and I know we pray, and I pray for our church on Sundays, but hear my heart. We need people that are dedicated to come and pray for me. And pray for us. And pray for God to do things in this church. If we really want to say, God, do things through this church and in this church that only You can take credit for, why aren't we sacrificing time to ask Him for that? To come and pray for these beautiful children, right? That come through these doors, to pray for the individuals and families, to pray that today, every Sunday morning would be honoring to Him, to pray that we as a church would not lose focus of our need to pursue growth in Christ and to pursue the vision and the Great Commission. I'm asking you as your pastor this morning, don't check out on me. Men, women, who's going to give up a little bit of their time on Sunday morning to show up here early and say, we're going to go find a quiet place and we're going to pray for this church? On Sunday morning, to pray before the church starts. Worship begins at 10:30. And I'm asking you as your pastor that we would have somebody that would say, you know what, I can sacrifice 30 minutes of sleep or 30 minutes of time in the morning so that I can come here and from 10 until 10:30 to find some time just to pray for what God's going to do in this church. Unapologetically, I ask you that. We've got to do that. If we're going to be who God has called us to be as a church, we do not get to walk away from prayer with God. Are you guys with me? In your bulletins, you have a connection card. And if that's something God has called you to do, I ask that you would write your name on there and you just write prayer on there and say, I will sacrifice that time, or get a hold of me sometime that week and we'll make it happen. We'll find a room where a group of us can go and pray for this service. Are you guys with me? Let's pray. God, you are good. You are beyond good. Father, you are the greatest thing. Jesus is the greatest thing that has ever happened to any of us, whether we've received him or not. Help us not neglect our time with him. If we are going to grow together as a church family, if we are going to grow in the likeness of Christ, if we're going to be good husbands and fathers and pastors and teachers and moms and wives and kids and students and employees, if we're going to be all of those things, Father, and live our life that brings honor to you, if we're going to do those things, we must not give up our time alone with you. Father, I want to pray right now that if there's somebody here that does not know Jesus as their personal Savior, that they would come and they would give their life to you. They can do that in their seats, Father. They could come and talk with me up front after church. Lord, I pray, Lord, you would draw them to you. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would be a church that is just saying, God, I don't even know what this is going to look like. I don't know how I'm going to give up time on Sunday morning. I don't know how I'm going to give up time anywhere in my life. But Father, you can do that for me. You can make that available for me. Help me know what to sacrifice. So Father, in our personal lives and right here at our church, help us be sacrificial so that we can pray and we can spend time with you.